Are you all ready for 2025? Can you believe this is the first Sunday of that? And welcome. My name is Joanna, and I am just so glad that you are here today. I wanted to do a shout out to those of you that are on the patio, and just a special shout out to those of you watching online. I had said I would do a secret signal to someone, so I guess it's not secret anymore. So just a hi to my mom and hi to everybody watching online. And if this is your first Sunday with us today, we are just so glad that you're here. Maybe you've been here for a few weeks checking us out and you haven't made it to Connections. We would love for you to come to our Connection Central. We have two in the lobby. We have one out on the patio. We would love just to talk to you face to face, answer any questions you have, see how we can get you connected here, and just let you know how you belong. And next week, we are going to have our first pizza with the pastor for our new year. It's after our 11 a.m. service, and it's such a great way to find out who we are, and we would love to have you join us. So we know that there's kind of some cold and stuff going on around today, so we're going to do fist bumps. So would you say hi to someone near you, share your name, give them a fist bump, and tell them that God has big plans for them this year?
By its I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Whatever we came here with this morning, God, I just pray that we can take this moment and really recognize that we get to be in your presence, God. That these words that we sing in these songs are about you and who you are and how much you care for us, how much you love us. that you are a creator, that you are a good father. I just pray that you will just fill our hearts this morning, God, and let us be able to rest in that and take comfort in who you are and your desire for our lives, God, as we begin a new year. The calendars have all switched over. Just help us think about making choices that show that you are number one in our lives, that you have first place, God. How we're going to spend our time, what we're going to do, the people we're going to surround ourselves with, God. Just be in each of those decisions and help us to grow closer to you this year and be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, church. My name is Katie. I'm one of the pastors that's on staff here. I'm going to invite our ushers forward as we receive the offering this morning. We are just grateful that you choose to be here with us. So if you are a visitor, please don't feel any obligation to give during this time. This is just a practice that we participate in of generosity, having an open hand with what God has given to us, and just anticipating what he will continue to do with it and how he will multiply it. We have several things that are coming up, so whether you have been here forever or you're new-ish, make sure you're listening so that you can be prepared for what's coming. We have a Galentine's brunch. So for our ladies, this is our annual brunch that we do. We love getting to join together. We always have delicious food. If you've never met Jules, she makes the most incredible food, so she will be prepping our Galentine's brunch for us, but we would love to have you join us. We're going to have some great conversation and just be able to reflect on what God has done and look forward to what he will continue to do in us. So we welcome you to come with us in February to that. In January, we have a Raising Kids workshop. So that is going to be this coming Saturday, so it's coming up pretty quick. This is not just for parents. So it is not a parenting workshop. It is called a Raising Kids workshop because anyone who has any influence over kids in their lives is welcome to come to this. We are going to be talking about navigating emotions. So whether our little tag is whether you are a fully grown person or a still growing person, God gave you emotions. So you might suppress them, you might wear them on your sleeves, but you do have them, and so do the little people. So we always need great advice and wisdom on how to navigate that. Pastor Gina is going to be with us sharing, as well as a couple of other guests. So please come and join us next Saturday if you want to hear more about that. We also have Bible studies. Men's and women's Bible studies are both going to be starting their new season in a couple of weeks. So you can find more details on what they're studying, what times. The men's have an evening Bible study. The women have a morning and an evening Bible study, which are two different studies. They're studying different topics. You could go to both if you wanted to. But all of those studies are going to be kicking off very soon. So check your bulletin. There's some QR codes on there that can guide you to more information and dates and all the specifics. I would just encourage you, if you're new, come a few times, because coming one time, you don't really get a good picture of what your position experience could be like here and what we're about. So if you come a couple of times, you can meet someone. I'll be hanging out on the patio at the connection counter if you want to come and say hi to me afterwards, and I'm happy to answer questions for you. We want you to get to know who we are. So coming to Pizza with the Pastor next weekend is a great way to hear more about our church and what we believe and what we want for you. And then we also want you to ask God what he's doing. So as you're coming a few times, really be praying into that. Like, God, why am I coming to this church? What are you doing here? How can I be a part of it? So come and do those three things as you come a few times. And one thing that we want for everyone is to truly be a disciple of Jesus, to have that longing to know him more and to follow him every single day. So joining a Bible study might be a part of that, coming to Pizza with the Pastor, taking that next step, whatever that might look like for you. Pastor David is going to be sharing more this morning about being a disciple. So just say a quick prayer, just by yourself, God, in this year, how can I become more of a disciple of you?
Amen, amen. We have gathered here. I'm so glad that we have moved from the scattered community to the gathered community, and praying that my voice and my energy holds up today. As you can tell, just like many of you, I have some type of sickness that started yesterday, and we are just trusting in God's faithfulness and that we are here to hear his voice anyway, not mine. So, you know, we entered into 2025, which just seems crazy. I mean, you find yourself moving from 2024 to 2025. We were talking to some people the other day. For those of you that have seen Back to the Future, the first one, if the original one was put in the 1950s, and if it was made today, it would be done in the 1990s. And so that made me feel really old to process that like if Back to the Future was made today, it would be my childhood. And so as I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking about this idea of moving from 2024 to 2025, I'm reminded that so many people are processing one specific idea or question as they're making that transition. And that's many people begin a new year processing, who do I want to become? Who is it that I want to become in 2025? And you're thinking about 2024 and you're processing 2025, and people do all kinds of things in order to process this. And so one of the things that many people do is they find themselves grabbing their favorite cup of coffee or cup of tea, and they find a cozy place or go down to the beach. They pull out their journal, or maybe they take notes on their phone. And they begin to list the various things or areas of their life that they want to see transformation happen in. And maybe some of you actually participated in this type of ritual over the last several weeks, that you found yourself getting alone and processing, who is it that I actually want to become in 2025? What is it that I want to grow in? How do I want to be shaped? What are the things that I would hope are different about me, or at least where I could point to and say there was growth in this particular area in my life, that I'm not the same a year from now that I am right now? And so there's a bunch of people that obviously participate in this type of ritual or practice, and some things kind of percolate to the top as people think about the person that they want to become. Various areas. And if I rank those, at least most recently, these are the areas that most people are looking to become new people or to have a fresh start in. First one, again, these won't be surprising, financially. People are looking to be shaped financially, and they're like, hey, how do I, in 2025, manage my finances and be in a better financial position at the end of 2025 than I am right now? Physically. Again, this is not rocket science. That you would become physically a better, stronger person, a healthier person. Most of these are around eating healthier and exercising. And some of you began that on January 1st, and some of us have already fallen off the wagon. It's okay. You get back on. But it's one of those things where people are like, hey, how do I do this? How do I grow in my understanding of being stronger and healthier in my life? Mental care or self-care. This is an area that continues to grow, and it's something that we find ourselves kind of moving towards and asking ourselves, what does it look like for me to be more mentally healthy and have self-care for myself? I mean, life is busy and it's crazy, and I need time where I pour back into myself. And then relationally, that many people, one of their goals of becoming in 2025 is, hey, I want to connect more with my family. I want to connect more with friends. I want to grow my relationships. In fact, if you're in your 20s, one of the things that we often forget in our 20s as we're advancing our careers, as we're advancing our lives, is that it's an important time to invest in relationships. What's interesting is it circles back, and when you enter into retirement, it's also an important time to invest in relationships, because you find yourself possibly moving to a new location or having to build new friendships because some of our friends have either passed away or moved on to other places. But there's something that's conspicuously not there on this list. In fact, as I look through many lists of what people were making resolutions about or putting their focus on, There wasn't on any list, I probably looked at 15 different lists, there wasn't on any list a desire to grow spiritually. There wasn't a desire to deepen their faith or to connect with their faith. And I think it's a reminder of the commentary on our current culture and the cultural consciousness that spirituality and faith seem to be something that's an add-on, but not something that's going to actually help me to become. But what's interesting is that the scriptures actually teach something different. The scriptures remind us in the book of Matthew chapter 6 that if we seek first the kingdom of God, that all other things will then be added to it. The scriptures teach us in John 10:10 that Jesus has come to give us life and life to the fullest. And so it's almost as if this list is backwards. These aren't bad things. It's not bad to become stronger in your understanding of your finances or your physical health or your mental health or self-care or relationally. It's just that if you don't see all of those things through the lens of Jesus, they still won't become the things that you actually want them to be in your life. That there has to be this movement towards deeper roots in relationship with God. Now, because we're in church, I'm going to assume that some of your lists might look a little bit different. Some of your lists might include, hey, I want to dive in the Bible. I mean, how many people, you don't have to raise your hand, how many people began January 1 a Bible reading plan because like, hey, this year I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, or I'm going to have a regular diet of the Word of God. I'm going to have prayer time. I'm going to start a journal. And you started and you wrote that January 1, 2025, and then January 2, 2025. And so far, that's as far as you've gotten, which is okay. But those are the ways that we think about growing deeper roots spiritually. In fact, I hear people say, and this is quite common in at least faith circles, this year, I want to grow deeper in my faith. I want to go deeper with Jesus. In fact, some of you might be here today because you're like, hey, I don't even know about this whole Jesus thing. I don't know about this whole God thing, but there's something missing. There's something I want to investigate. I'm curious about what faith might look like in my life. Or maybe you are a regular attender of New Life or a part of the New Life family. Or maybe you used to be a part of a church years ago and you're like, hey, I want to get back to my roots of faith. But again, when we start with this idea of a Bible reading plan, or we start with this idea of journaling, or we start with this idea of prayer, I think, again, we misstep and we don't put our focus where it actually needs to be. Because if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, if we're going to encounter Jesus, if we're going to deepen our roots with Jesus, there's really two areas that become primary. And over the next 2 weeks, these are the two areas that we are going to unpack. Two areas that revolutionize our relationship with God. Two areas that deepen our roots. Two areas that if I were to say, hey, if you spent the rest of your life and all that you did every single year, say, God, I want to deepen my roots, my convictions, my encounters with you in these two areas. These are the two areas, and they're simple, and they're not rocket science, and you probably already know them, but we're going to unpack them over the next 2 weeks. And they're simply this: the gospel of Jesus and the way of Jesus. The gospel of Jesus and the way of Jesus. Now, some of you are so disappointed because you're like, I know that. Like, I know that, and I get it. Some of us may know that, but has it soaked deep into our soul? Has it been something that we have rooted ourselves in? Has it been something that we knew at one point, but somehow have found ourselves grasping at and searching at other things to try to fill this gap of faith rather than returning? Or have maybe you encountered Jesus at some level, but have never really encountered the gospel of Jesus in deep and rich ways? So if you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans chapter 1. Romans is in the New Testament, or the second half of the Bible. You'll find your way in the second half of the Bible through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, where we read about the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and then the book of Romans, a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church of Rome. In chapter 1, I'm going to read several sections. I'm not going to read the entirety of the chapter, but several sections that I think are going to help us unpack this idea of the gospel of Jesus this morning. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 1, says this: "And Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I want to skip forward to verse 9, chapter 1 now in verse 9. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. Now skipping down to verses 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteousness will live by faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may this word come alive to us this morning. May we sense your presence. May we hear you, God, as you draw us closer and deeper into relationship with you. If we've never heard the gospel of Jesus, God, may we hear it with fresh ears and curiosity. If, God, this is something that we've heard 100 times, God, would you pierce our hearts afresh and anew? And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The gospel of Jesus. Gospel, good news. From the Greek, euangelion. We've talked about some of this before. But this idea that the gospel or good news is about Jesus. But in our culture, the word gospel has been reduced. It's been reduced to a genre of music where people who maybe know Jesus or don't know Jesus will talk about gospel music or just this idea of a genre of music. Sometimes you hear it as a catchphrase for convincing someone that your argument is correct, that you have this deep understanding, and it's called the gospel truth. And so you're like, hey, I'm just telling you the gospel truth. And what that's somehow, that is a deep conviction that you have or something that you believe that is true. In the church, we've reduced the gospel to good advice, a prayer, or maybe a formula. For many of us, we were raised in an understanding of the gospel that was reduced down to this idea that you have a choice to make between heaven and hell. And you need to choose which one you want to spend your eternity in. And we've reduced that understanding of the gospel down to just something like that. And while that may be an aspect of the gospel, our eternity may be an aspect of the gospel, it doesn't capture the fullness of the gospel. And I understand wanting to simplify it or clarify it, but sometimes when we simplify things, we lose its power. Sometimes when we reduce things, we lose its integrity. We lose what it's actually trying to communicate. I mean, think about this for a moment. When we reduce the gospel down to a choice between heaven or hell, it's like we're asking someone to take rental insurance when they're renting a car. Hey, you might want this. I'm just saying. You might, this is like good advice. Like, you might want to have this. Like you choose. But that's not actually what the gospel is saying. The gospel isn't saying this may or may not happen. That's not how the church would have adopted this idea of euangelion. Because that's not how Rome operated. Rome operated this way. An event took place that allowed a Roman emperor or somebody to gain new territory. And they went into the cities where this new territory was captured by the Empire of Rome. And they began to declare that no longer are you the citizens of your country. You are now Romans. No longer this event has taken place. And your entire life is going to change. And you can either choose to be a part of this new thing that's happening or not, but it's happening regardless. That's literally how things happened in the Empire of Rome. They didn't come in and say, hey, you know what? We just overtook your territory. And if you want to have a choice of whether or not you want to be Roman, you can or not. But, you know, we'll let you decide. Try it on for size. See how it goes. That's not how it happened. And so when the gospel of Jesus takes place and when we read about it, what we're reading is not simply just an invitation to a choice to decide. It's saying a decisive action has happened, and because this has happened, nothing in human history will ever look the same. Nothing in your life will ever look the same. Nothing in this world will ever look the same. The gospel will change every aspect of everything that happens in this world. So I framed out a definition that might help us unpack this idea of the gospel. I want to read it to you. It says, the gospel is the good news that God's kingdom has come near in Jesus Christ. And through his life, death, resurrection, and enthronement, Jesus is declared Lord. A new humanity is created, and the power of sin and death no longer have the last word. Because of who Jesus is, everything has changed. Because of who Jesus is and what he did, everything has changed. We don't look at sin the same way. We don't look at death the same way. We don't look at our lives the same way. Everything has radically changed. The way that I look at my life, the way that I look at my singleness, the way that I look at my relationships, the way that I look at marriage, the way that I look at my friendships, the way that I look at my finances, the way that I look at my physical health, the way that I look at my mental health and my self-care, the way that I look at my relational health, every single area of my life has changed because of the gospel of Jesus. That is what the text is actually saying. Notice what it says when you open up to the gospels in the New Testament or the second half of the Bible. It says the gospel according to the gospel of Jesus according to Matthew, the gospel of Jesus according to Mark, the gospel of Jesus according to Luke, the gospel of Jesus according to John. Everything is pointing, the entirety of scriptures is pointing to Jesus coming into human history and changing everything. Everything is pointing to Jesus. So, a couple of things to unpack this morning through the text that I think will help us wrap our hearts and minds around this idea of the gospel of Jesus. And then, what would it look like, not just for 2025, but for us as New Life to allow this conviction, this encounter, type of encounter with Jesus, to soak deep into our souls? The first one is this: the gospel is fundamentally about Jesus. The gospel is fundamentally about Jesus. Jesus is actually the good news. The good news isn't that you get to go to heaven. The good news is actually that Jesus has come, and the byproduct of Jesus coming into your life is that we get to have eternity with God. So don't hear me saying that we push aside those other things, but it's so easy to make the gospel about you rather than about Jesus. And when the gospel becomes about you, we get a selfish gospel. And it's no longer the gospel actually that's revealed in scripture. Because let's be honest, I'm not always good news. You're not always good news. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. She will tell you, David, he's not always good news. Right? And so we reduce the gospel to being just about us when the gospel, the good news, was about Jesus, is about Jesus. And Jesus is good on my greatest days, and he's good in the valleys. It doesn't matter. Jesus is good news no matter where I am. The gospel cannot be reduced to what the Son did for us, but rather the gospel of Jesus again declares who Jesus is. That's what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John teach us specifically, but it's what the entirety of scriptures are all pointing to: the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. Every single writer is writing about, all the scriptures are pointing towards Jesus. And what we've done at times is we've hijacked This idea that everything points towards Jesus, and we're like, hey, how, like, even when we ask this question, I want to grow deeper in my spiritual life. I want to grow deeper with Jesus. What we're saying is, I want my life to change. And the only way that your life changes is not simply by focusing on yourself, but by focusing on Jesus. So let me brag on Jesus for just a little bit, because I want to tell you who he is. And this isn't even an exhaustive list, but I think you'll get the concept. And it's, if you're brand new again to Christianity and this whole God thing, I want you to hear in this who Jesus is. And if you are, have been following Jesus for a long time, I pray you be stirred in your spirit this morning about who Jesus is. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, the head of the church. The Word became flesh. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true vine and the bread of life. He is the bridegroom. He is the wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Lord of Lords and the Good Shepherd. He's the living water. He is prophet, priest, and king. He is the perfect sacrifice. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the chief cornerstone, the rock, the resurrection of the life and the life. He is the Alpha and Omega, and Jesus is good news. That is who he is. And so we gather here today. This is again where I want to just anchor us. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, if you're going to encounter Jesus, if you're going to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus this year, then this is where your brain and your heartbeat have to shift. That you're not gathering here and sitting in a seat and singing songs and listening to a message and asking yourselves, how can I be a better person? What you're asking yourself is, how do I encounter Jesus? How do I get closer to Jesus? How does my life fixate on Jesus? How do everything that I do go closer to Jesus? Because when you're near Jesus, that's where things change. He is the good news. Secondly, the gospel of Jesus is what saves the world. It's what saves the world. Go back to verse 16. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone. It's the power of salvation for everyone. And I'm reminded in this text that everybody is looking for peace, and everybody is looking for understanding. Everybody is looking for purpose, and everybody is looking for significance, and everybody is asking themselves, am I going to be enough? And there are plenty of other messiahs, idols, people, ideas, things that will try to draw you into believing that somehow they will be your salvation. If you just have that next step of success, if you just have that next relationship, if that person just somehow eventually sees you and says you are enough, somehow then things will make sense. Then you'll have peace. Then you'll have joy. But the God of success and the gods of relationships and the gods of achievement and the gods of wealth never deliver on what they're promising. The gospel reminds us that there is absolutely nothing that transforms us, nothing that makes us whole, nothing that will meet you at your deepest longings and aches, nothing that will have you, nothing that will bring you peace and joy in that moment where you're saying, God, I don't understand this life, and I'm not sure why I'm here, and God, I don't know why I exist, and I don't know what my purpose is. Nothing will meet those longings and those aches except for Jesus. He is the only one. He's the only one. And the power of God is demonstrated through the resurrection. The power of God is demonstrated that it is through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection that sin and death are conquered. Some of us remember the gospel tracts that were left on different cars and various things. And they have a purpose, don't get me wrong. But if you remember, there's like, you know, the human on one side and God on the other side and the cross in the middle, and it's a bridge. The cross is the bridge for humans to cross from that chasm of sin and death over and encounter God and have a relationship with God. And that only happens through the cross of Jesus, right? Like, we remember that idea. But the cross is not just a bridge, it's a sledgehammer that quite literally breaks down the walls between you and God and breaks down the false idols between you and God and leads you to life and life to its fullest. Number three, the gospel of Jesus creates a new humanity to live in a new community. Notice again what it says in verse 16, that the gospel is first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Now, we don't see how radical that this kind of statement would be. It doesn't hit us the same. But if I said this morning that the gospel is for the Jew first and then for the Palestinian, and that was going to be the new community, we'd go, whoa, how is there going to be a new community? I mean, doesn't the government have to get involved? Doesn't this have to happen? No, the only thing that has the power to bring healing and restoration to all the division between you and I and the people groups of this world is the gospel. At its core, the gospel has the power to bring people together. It's not just about a private relationship between you and God. And yet that's what we've made it so often in America. We've made the gospel, it's me and Jesus. But rather, the gospel is about how Jesus is taking individuals and forming them into a community as they place their trust in him. The type of community that when people look at it, it would demand an answer because they couldn't fathom why people would love one another that way. Why they would forgive one another that way. Why there would be grace and mercy that way. Four, the gospel of Jesus reveals the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. It's the way that God is bringing the world back to the way he intended and created it to be. But there's another aspect of the righteousness of God that's involved in this. And N.T. Wright brings us to this understanding of righteousness of God being God's covenant loyalty to you and to me. And the reason this is so important is because it says that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. Well, if the righteousness of God is God's covenant loyalty to you and to me, what is actually being revealed? Well, Romans actually tells us a little bit later on what is being revealed. The righteousness of God, the covenant loyalty of God is this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That God remains faithful and loyal in his covenant even when we're not. That God's grace is sufficient even when we fall on our face. That God's covenant loyalty stands firm again and again and again, even when we don't. God's love was demonstrated, not when we decided to be like, hey, God, I love you back. No, God's love was demonstrated when while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And the wages of sin was death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And so we're reminded that the righteousness of God that is revealed through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, through who Jesus is, the righteousness that is revealed is that God radically and authentically and deeply loves you, so much so that in your sin and in your brokenness, while you were ignoring him, while you were shaking your fist in his face, he died in order to bring redemption to you, whether you accept it or not. That is how faithful God is. We don't live in a culture that has pictures of that type of faithfulness very often. And so it's hard for us to imagine this type of covenant loyalty. So where do we find it? We look to Jesus. And lastly, the righteous live by faith in the gospel of Jesus. That is where our faith is, in the gospel of Jesus. We too often put an emphasis on my ability to believe in God. I want to grow deeper in my relationship with Jesus here. I need to believe more rather than placing an emphasis on God's faithfulness and his ability to be faithful even when I'm not. When the object of my faith is my ability to believe, I'm in trouble. Because sometimes I feel like believing and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I have uncertainty. Sometimes I have doubt. But when the object of my faith is God's faithfulness, his steadfastness, his character, his nature, when the object of my faith is the gospel of Jesus, all of a sudden everything else changes. See, when the object of my faith is God's faithfulness, I hear these types of words. Bring your sin and unfaithfulness. Bring your doubts and your brokenness. Bring your hurts and your pain and your suffering. Bring the sin that you have done and the sin that has been done to you. Bring your regrets. Bring it all. Bring it all to Jesus. Bring it all to Jesus. I know it sounds so, if you grew up years ago in the church, it sounds so Sunday school answer, small group answer, right? Like, hey, what's the answer to this? Jesus. What's the answer to my marriage? Jesus. What's the answer to this area, my career? Jesus. What's the answer to my singleness? Jesus. What's the answer of it? Jesus. Like I can give you the answer before you ever get the question out of your mouth. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is going to save, and Jesus is going to heal, and Jesus is going to restore relationships. It's Jesus, and it's Jesus, and it's Jesus, and it's Jesus, and it's Jesus. And anything that takes you away from Jesus is taking you towards a different false gospel. And so if you want to grow deeper, not just in 2025, if you want to grow deeper in a richer relationship, if you want your spiritual life to have roots, find yourself saturated with the gospel of Jesus. You're like, hey, but shouldn't I also pray? Go to the Lord in prayer. Instead of asking for things, saturate yourself in the gospel of Jesus. Shouldn't I read my Bible? Yep, read the Bible. Instead of looking for answers for your specific part of your life, saturate yourself in the gospel of Jesus. Shouldn't I journal? Yep, journal about the gospel of Jesus. Like, I know. You're like, but what about this area of my life? You cannot control other people. You can't control all the other things in the chaos going on here. You can't control whether or not you're going to get diagnosed with, you can't control diagnosed with something in 2025 or not. All you can do is go to the source of salvation and healing and restoration and power and renewal, and his name is Jesus. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? Heavenly Father, I pray your Holy Spirit right now would stir in the hearts of us as your people. I pray, God, we would sense your presence. I pray for the person that walked in here today, God, and all they are is maybe curious about Christianity and this whole God thing. I pray you'd stir in their heart, Lord, and that they'd lean into that curiosity. And they would find them asking questions about Jesus and reading about Jesus and asking others about Jesus. Because, Lord, your word says that if we seek you, we will find you. You are constantly knocking, just waiting for us to open the door with us. And I pray for the person, God, that has been quite honestly going through the motions the last many years. They show up at church, they listen to a message, they sing some songs, but for whatever reason, the gospel has not taken rooted deep in their soul like it once was. Forgive us, God. Forgive us for making all of this about other things other than you. Forgive us for making it about our preferences. Forgive us for trying to find other solutions, God. When at the end of the day, you remind us throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that our entire life is about Jesus, focused on Jesus. And he is good news. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our Redeemer. It's all about Jesus. So Lord, be with us. Stir in us. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Because we don't believe that simply following Jesus is just simply just praying a prayer, there's some formula to it, we want to invite you that if you feel something stirring within you this morning and you want to know more about what it looks like to follow Jesus, we have a prayer team here at the front and they would love to talk with you, encourage you, and help give you some next steps of what it looks like to actually focus and fixate your life on Jesus. As you go today, may you go not only to have experienced the gospel of Jesus, but to declare the gospel of Jesus to everyone that you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.